Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
The truth is that human beings like to put the world into boxes, especially the yes, no, black, white, zero, one kind. Human beings like simplicity, but I have always pushed back against that. In school, it was the nature versus nurture argument. For me, it's never either or, but always, always, always both and. Now, one of the things that's out in the news, it's the masculine versus the feminine question. Every one of us has both masculine and feminine qualities. The psychoanalyst Carl Jung referred to them as the animus and the anima. But both qualities are not equally valued for all of us. If women embody their masculine, they're called aggressive and bitches. If men embody their feminine, they're wimps and girly. So women have more leeway because masculine qualities are more highly valued. Men, they're often just stuck. So to talk about the damage this does to men and how to deal with it with a healthier way, I'm really excited to be joined by thriving life and relationship coach Brian Reeves. So Brian, thank you so much for being on the show because I think you've got a really fantastic position on this.
Hi, Leslie. Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here. And just for anyone who's listening, it's Brian with a Y.
Yes, Brian with a Y.
My own sister spelled that wrong once, so I have a little bit of a sensitive spot. We men are sensitive, and we're going to talk about that. So
right. I always have to tell people Leslie does not have an E at the end of it, which creates
That's
no
right.
end of problems, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
You can relate. Thank you.
And so, you know, I want to let people know that I've been following you for a while, and then I saw your post, 5 signs a man is connected to his heart. When it showed up in the mailbox, I got really excited, and I knew I had to have you on the show. Because this is something that I think right now is so topical, so timely, and so necessary. And you start out talking about how men become unable to deeply connect with life. And so can you kind of briefly explain how this happens?
Right. Well, I was at a Los Angeles Galaxy soccer game a while back, and I remember one of the soccer players, maybe there was a foul or something, I don't remember what happened, but I remember there was this man, probably in his mid-40s, I'm 44, you know, same generation, sitting in front of me. And, of course, he yells the thing that I've been hearing for a lifetime, you know, get up, you, you know,
yeah.
athletes, you know, men don't cry, stop crying, you big baby. You know, and meanwhile, he's sitting next to, you know, a little girl and a little boy, and I'm like, oh, man, like, that's the message
Here we go.
We've been getting forever. Here we go. Mm-hmm. And it's still, I mean, this just happened, you know, recently, so this is still the predominant message we live with, that boys don't cry, don't feel pain, don't be a girl, as if there's something wrong with being a girl. You know, all of it.
Yeah, the ultimate insult, right.
Even no pain, no gain, even that, mm-hmm. which we take as a motivational motto, but even that is so damaging, no pain, no gain, as if you know, it's you got to feel pain if you're going to get anywhere in life, so deal with it. It's incredibly destructive. I mean, I was in the military. I was a captain in the Air Force, and I got trained. I got, you know, the government spent millions of dollars training me to not feel anything. And, okay, which is sure, that's useful when I'm staring at a gun, you know, bullets coming at me. It's actually, if I'm going to function, I kind of have to not feel. But boy, anywhere else in my life, that's really debilitating, especially in intimate relationships.
Well, and this is one of the things that I've always argued about, you know, because when I've worked with my clients, and one of the things I talk to them about is, you know, what comes to mind when you hear the word vulnerable? And everybody goes, oh, it's weakness, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
yeah.
And I'm going, you know, that is the wrong way of looking at it. Because, you know, when people talk about real men don't cry and all this, it's like, I'm sorry. You know, guys who have lost their comrades in arms. They're crying. Mm-hmm. And I want somebody to tell me that some Marine or whoever who loses their buddy is not a man if he cries. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not buying that. You watch the sports, the Super Bowl, the World Series, all the bowl games, the World Cup, all this stuff. And and I was even watching the Little League World Series just a little bit ago when I think it was the team from either Japan or Korea, and I'm sorry because I know the American team won. And these kids are crying, and nobody is making fun of them. You don't make fun of the 300-pound lineman who's just put his whole heart and soul into this thing. But those seem to be the only times it's okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm constantly pointing out to my partner whenever I'm watching some kind of sport. I love sports, and you see men and stadiums of people. They go batshit crazy. They celebrate. They feel so much emotion because a man puts a ball in a net.
Yeah.
They literally, have those man piles. They all jump on top of each other. They take off their shirts and they jump on top of each other. They pat each other on the back, kiss each other on the, they're so happy because a man
right.
put a ball
they're
in
hugging
the
each net. Other. They're doing all this stuff.
And so it's like we've conditioned ourselves to need big events to feel anything, whether it's a death or a goal.
Right.
And that it denies so much of our humanity that's happening just on an everyday basis.
Well,
the frustrations we feel and the longings we feel, all of that.
Well, right, because we all feel everything. Now, whether we all feel it the same way or to the same degree, no, we don't. But we all have those emotions, and women have been given permission for years, in fact, to access those emotions. And, I think it's time that we give that same permission to men. And in your article and about these five signs of a man being connected to his heart, you talk about the first two signs as the first one is being deeply patient, and then the second one is being able to laugh easily and authentically, and I love that. So how are these evidence of being connected to your heart?
Well, notice both of those are full body practices. Being patient requires being willing to be with discomfort. That's essentially the definition of patience, is being able to just sit with discomfort.
Oh, not anything people like doing.
No, of course not. We're taught to fix it, resolve it, quit it, end it. And that is the masculine preference. Mm-hmm. Everything needs, we need to end. Stop it. A friend of mine said, he said, I just want everything to stop at all times. Like, kids, stop making noise. Wife, stop wanting things from me. Life, just stop happening for a minute so I can catch my damn breath. Mm-hmm. Well, so patience requires to be with discomfort, and that requires an awareness in the body, first off, that there is even discomfort.
Okay.
And so that, because you can't be with something if you don't know it's happening. Rather, instead, again, we're so fixed on fixing it on the outside world, and we wreak havoc in that place. Again, I make the distinction between living in our heads, our intellectual way of a rational way of seeing the world and thinking we need to just play out our programs and our stories and what's actually happening in our body, what our bodies are telling us, what's and that is, I definitely men and women, I don't like making blanket statements, but in general, we feel differently. We feel different. I want to give men permission not to feel as women feel. My fiance cries all the damn time, and I don't understand what she's crying about most of the time, and neither does she, for that matter.
Right.
But I've cried more since I've been with her, but I will never cry as much as she cries. It's not me. But I really need to have a good cry every now and again. I really, really, it's so refreshing for my nervous system. And so,
gets rid of the toxins.
Absolutely, it's a beautiful experience, and it connects me to her. We feel connected when I'm able to allow that emotionality through me. But that again, it requires I said it's a, well, you mentioned the second thing, laughing deeply for the first 30 years of my life, I laughed from the neck up. I didn't really know what full body laughter was. And then, you know, I'll be fully transparent. I took mushrooms when I was 30, psilocybin, and that connected me to my body. I laughed from a place in my body I didn't even know was possible, didn't even know was there. And since then, that muscle memory was created in me in such a way that, oh my God, every time I laugh, you know, again, being in the military, being taught how to not feel, just being a boy and then a man being taught, it's not, you're not, feeling is for wussies. Feeling just gets in the way of having an out, of the outcome you want. So, you know, but real laughter is that full body laughter, it laughs with life. It's not laughing at life. It's not laughing over life. It's laughing with life. It's like, talk about being fully connected to what's, to my own body, to what's happening. I mean, that kind of laughter is an embrace of life, and that wasn't available to me for 30 years, the first 30 years of my life.
And frequently when you laugh that way, you actually cry too. Now, they're tears of laughter, but you're still crying, which again is showing that connection.
Well, I describe emotionality as like a bandwidth, and there's a whole range of emotions from ecstasy to agony, and generally most men, we tend to function in a very narrow range, right, kind of in the middle, very narrow range. We may have spikes, usually into anger, but we come back to our narrow range, and particularly, when we live in that narrow range, ironically, we end up choosing women who will take us out of that range with their own emotionality, but then we fight it at the same time. Because there's not a lot of life in that narrow emotional range. We want someone to come in and bring us out and show us all the different flavors of life, but our programming causes us to resist that at the same time. This is why one of the reasons so many relationships are so stressed is that tension right there.
Right, and I think you mentioned something else before about how men and women feel differently, and that needs to be okay, that just because I feel this emotion in this way, it doesn't invalidate you feeling that same emotion in a different way. And again, I think that's one of the imbalances that's happened, because women are allowed to feel. And so that's kind of the narrative. I was talking earlier about, you know, how it's okay for women to show their masculine traits because that's valued. But showing emotion in the feminine way is also valued, I think mostly because it's considered the norm. That's what is allowed out in society, so this is the right way for it to be.
Well, there's certainly a lot of layers to this. I was just working with a client this morning, a woman who is not allowed to feel in her relationship. Her husband, her partner does not want her crying. Her partner does not want her feeling. And she was also expressing the same frustration of, you know, when I'm in my masculine, then I get ruled, I'm told I'm just being bitchy. I'm being bitchy and bossy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, damned if I do, damned if I don't. And it's the same for men. I mean, we all are kind of living in that we tend to live in that paralysis of, I'm damned if I do express my emotions, I get called unsafe. I get told I'm out of control. I'm not being rational. But then if I shrink my, and this is for men and women, but then if I shrink my emotions and I don't feel anything, then I'm no fun, or there's no life to me, or I'm not enough somehow. So it's like we're constantly battling between being too much or not enough.
Well, and exactly. And I'm glad you mentioned the fact that her husband doesn't like it when she feels emotion, because that's what I see a lot of times. And I think that they don't like it because it makes them uncomfortable, which goes back to that first thing you were talking about being patient.
Totally right. That's right.
And, you know, because it's like, I don't understand why my partner is like this, and yeah. it's making me uncomfortable. So my partner just needs
to stop.
Just stop
exactly.
it right now.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You're totally right. That's why patience, that is the sign of a man connected to heart. And that connected to heart is, you know, it's a poetic way of saying just really fully present in his body, mm-hmm. not living just from his intellectual framework of the world, but rather he's really connected to the moment, present in his body, feeling what's happening so that he can also feel what's happening in the person he's in front of. That's how we create connection. That's how we have empathy, is we feel each other. And a man, to be deeply patient means, okay, I can be with my own discomfort, which allows me to then just be patient with, mm-hmm. to be available to what's happening in front of me so that I can really be effective in being a presence of love, of support, and in a powerful way. I think that maybe that's something we'll explore in the next segment about, because there is that, you know, a man connected to heart is a, forgive my language, a pussy. And that's some bullshit. I mean, that's the strongest man in the world, in my opinion.
Well, and I'm right there with you because we are going to talk about this more, but right now I want to mention, because that creates such a place of safety for the woman to let go and know. I mean, and that's a lot of the times what we want is this place where we can go and know it's safe to express these things. Mm-hmm. But you're right, it's got to start with the guy being okay with not being able to fix it in that moment.
That's right, which is uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
to the masculine.
Yes.
Our identity is in our fix-it capacity and our doing, and it's mm-hmm. really uncomfortable to not be able to fix something in the moment, to change it, to end it. And our capacity to be with that discomfort is transformative.
Absolutely. This is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with thriving life and relationship coach Brian Reeves about the timely topic of men connecting with their emotional selves. And if this is something that's difficult for you or your partner, you're not alone. Breaking the stranglehold of unadulterated masculinity is possible. And if you want to connect on a deeper, more authentic way with the people in your life, I invite you to contact me and find out about the Hero Husband Project. You can give me a call or send me an email. You can reach me at area code 919-924-0463. Again, that's 919-924-0463. Or send me an email at Leslie. Lesli, no E, thanks Mom, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's FOUNDATIONS coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com. Or you can go to the Hero Husband Project page on Facebook. So I want to get back to this conversation, and we were talking about one of your other signs, which is about being mm-hmm. fully present, which is a challenge, I think, for a lot of people. And you also talk about another one, which is kindness to the world. And, you know, those two, it's hard to be kind if we're not present. And I think it's hard to do a lot of things without being present. And especially we're in this, you know, 24/7 constant grind, thinking we're connected by Facebook and Instagram and all the social media, but we have a hard time just sitting and being with ourselves and with those of us who we love the most.
Yeah, you got that right. You know, so that's something that I'm very, very mindful of, being on my phone, and I'm in a relationship, my fiance and I, and we're both, you know, a lot of our business we do on social media. So we have to be connected to sustain our lives, put food on the table. And at the same time, though, it can be very disconnecting for our relationship. So, you know, when I talk about a man connected to heart is fully present, and this is a practice, it really requires intention and practice, just that practical tip of putting the phone down, you know, creating a time for you to just be with the people you're with. Putting the phone down, being with the people you're with. One of the things I love doing most, if I'm out at dinner or wherever, is when I go to the bathroom, not taking my phone with me.
I always find that a weird thing anyway. I'm always freaked out when people walk into the bathroom still on their phone. I'm going, okay, would you please hang up your phone? This is just too weird.
Well, and what I love also is when I come back to the table and I see, you know, my partner hasn't just been on her phone for the last, since I went, because it's so disconnecting in a way. And it's nice we could just be humans together.
Well, and it's interesting because you talk about this, and I frequently will go places, and I was watching something on television. Well, the television was on. I wasn't really watching it. Over the Labor Day weekend, we were spending the weekend with some friends, and they had some boy band on, whatever the morning show was, and all of the people in the audience had their phones out and were taping it. They weren't present experiencing it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
You know, so it's something that they'll see later. I mean, it's like, to me, it's sort of like taking a picture of or videoing a sunset. And it's like, wait, you're not, you know, you're not fully present.
Yeah. And so what does that have to do with a man connected to heart? What does that mean? So, yeah, it's a common lament that we men hear in our relationships a lot. You're not present. I don't feel connected to you. Mm-hmm. You're not listening to me. And we're pretty sure we heard everything you just said, but yet we're being accused of not listening. Well, again, and when we hear those things, we don't know what the heck she's talking about.
Yeah, it's like, what do you mean? I know exactly what you said. Yeah.
I'm here in the room. I'm physically present. I just heard everything, and we start to get angry. I just heard what you said. I heard all the words, and on and on. And it can just spiral out of control because we're actually, what we're not being present to is what's happening emotionally in that moment.
Yes.
We're not being present to what our partner is, or again, I say partner because I do mostly a lot of relationship work, but this could be anyone. It could be, you know, I have this with one of my good male friends. We're both really good at, you know, we've worked together, we've done some men's retreats and workshops together, co-facilitated, and we both have strong personalities, and there have been a few moments where we're kind of at each other's throats, or one of us does something that the other didn't appreciate. One of our great saving graces is just to be able to say, you know what, man, I'm feeling a lot of rage right now. That's present. That's being present. I'm feeling a lot of rage right now, which is a cue to the other to go, okay, all right, man, yep, I feel you. I feel you. I understand. I'm with you. So we're connecting. We haven't resolved anything, but we're being present that there's something's arising in the room let's just be with that for a moment.
That right, and that's connection. And that's actually that connection is usually the key to resolving stuff. So if people keep going back over the same old, same old, same old, something is missing in the connection, and that's why it's like people aren't arguing about the dirty glass on the sink. That is not what the issue is. It's like, you're not hearing me, you're not appreciating that this is a bother to me. It's at a much deeper level. So, but what is this kindness to the world? What does that mean, and why is that?
Kindness, I had a vision many, many years ago. I was meditating, and I had this vision where I saw these wise elder men kind of pouring out of this like portal in the sky. And they were wearing these long robes, and they had this long hair, just wise elders, the kind of the archetype of the wise elder. But they were leaping out of, they were so alive in their bodies, and they had swords in their hands. And they were, someone's going to listen to this and say, oh man, you were tripping. You were on mushrooms again.
Right. You were on mushrooms again. Right.
But that's not the point. But they were leaping into the world, and what they were doing is with their swords, they were cutting the head off of evil. But they were doing it with gladness in their heart. They were doing it with joy in their heart. They were doing it not with hatred, not with anger, not with spite, but with gladness, because this is the world we want to live in. And it was like it was an old story of a samurai warrior who hunts down an enemy. to is an assassin who was trying to assassinate his king. And he hunts down the assassin, and at the just at the moment the samurai is about to strike him down with his sword, the assassin spits on the samurai. And in that moment, the samurai feels disgust, and he puts his sword away. He doesn't kill the assassin because he doesn't want to kill him in disgust. That's not the samurai code. So he can kill him with love. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's a higher ideal. It's a, and this is what I mean by kindness to the world. I'm all, you know, this idea of being kind means you're a pushover. No, it doesn't. It means we can embrace what is happening. We can have compassion for people who break the law, even as we put them in jail.
Right, and I think that's. And I think that being, again, and being able to feel compassion, it goes along with being empathy. I can understand how this is happening. Not that it's okay, but I can grasp what is driving this, and we're going to show a better way, which there's a famous expression. It's kind of about like taking the high road. It's that same concept of I don't want to get down in the muck with you.
It's about having boundaries also. Mm-hmm. It's about having boundaries because, again, there's this notion, I think, and this is what men are really frightened about. We don't want to be pushovers. We don't want to be seen as weak. And rightfully so. I mean, evolution has programmed us. The more status we have, the more reproductive opportunities we have. Mm-hmm. You know, the more resources we gather, the more attractive we are to potential mates. And so, you know, we've been conditioned to not look weak. If we look weak, we don't reproduce. Our genes don't carry on. Is the evolutionary program. But what I think what you and I, Leslie, what we're helping to usher in is that actually vulnerability with boundaries. Vulnerability meaning is the most powerful stance that a man can ever take to show his true heart. Mm-hmm. While also being strong with his boundaries. It's very paradoxical.
Right. Well, it is, and I always use the example because, you know, I happen to, you know, I like action movies. In fact, I like all movies that are written well. But it's like, you know, you'll see the hostage situation. You know, somebody's in the bank or whatever holding hostages. And what does the cop always do? He takes off his gun, walks into the middle of the street. You know, it's like, he's not strong. He's vulnerable. He's like, but he's risking something more than himself. And, you know, and so it is. I use that example. But I want, because I don't want to not get to this last sign, because I think that this one is, to me, this one is a little bit confusing. And it's talking about passionately living his true purpose. And so I know people get into this and it's like we're not confusing that with his job, his profession.
It could be, but his purpose could also be to be a good father. In which case he may be doing work that he doesn't particularly care for, but he wants to be, it enables him to be present and to provide for his children. I mean, that's what a noble purpose. But purpose is, when I talk about purpose, I'm talking about really being connected to the truth in your heart as a man. It takes courage, real courage, which, you know, core is the word,
is the heart.
It takes courage to live what is your truthful purpose, because the rest of the world ain't going to make it easy for you. The world doesn't make it easy to live your true purpose. In fact, it's easier to not live your true purpose. There's all kinds of ways to not live purposeful in your life. I mean, life will help you sell out constantly by offering you money for shit that doesn't matter. You know, jobs that don't actually serve anybody. Even more money that takes you away from your family. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that we can be distracted from living our. It takes courage to, and again, it's a full body practice because it requires an awareness of what am I feeling deeply? What is my deep hell yes? Every day. Steve Jobs, he was famous for saying that, you know, if I looked in the mirror too many times in the morning, you know, I'd look in the mirror every morning and ask myself, do I want to do what I'm doing today? And if too many days went by where the answer was no, I'd stop doing it.
Right, and then people fall into, well, I have to do this. It's like, well, no. I mean, but yes, there are consequences to doing this, and I think that's what you're talking about, is that because there are potential consequences for this, I need to be strong enough, I need to be clear enough to be able to withstand any negative consequence and being able to identify the positive ones, because to the outside world, it may look crazy that I've decided to do this thing instead of this other thing. But yeah. If it sets you on fire, then that's the right thing to do.
Well, I make a few distinctions here as well. First off, yes, there are consequences to everything, but the interesting thing about consequences is we don't actually ever know what they're going to be.
That's true. And there are also positive and negative ones. It's like people forget that there are positive consequences as
and
well.
And we never know, of course, well, yeah, and we never know what choice is going to result in. It might look positive for the next 5 minutes, but then all of a sudden, this choice that we thought was going to get us what we wanted, you know, there's a meteor in our feet that's going to, you know, metaphorically going to come out and just, we just never fucking know what consequences are going to be. But I make the distinction between, you're right, I have to, what I have to, versus want to, versus committed to. And
I like that.
I don't, especially for adults, I don't subscribe to the belief that we have to do anything. We don't have to. We can not eat. We can hold our breath and see what happens. You know, someone can put a gun to your head and say jump, and you can not jump and see what happens. You don't even have to feed your kids. But I bet you really want to. I bet on a deeper level, you're even committed to. That's a whole different context to live inside of. And when we talk about now committed to, now we're talking about purpose. And now we get into a much more empowering domain. Language is so important, because as long as you're living in have to, you're not going to be able to connect to your heart, because you're in survival mode. In survival, who gives a damn about your heart? Your heart's
right.
The last
you
thing
be
you
alive
go in survival.
You want to be alive in the next 3 seconds. Forget about that.
Forget about actually doing anything meaningful and purposeful and deep. And it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you're focused on survival, you're not going to self-actualize in any way. But if you recognize, which in our culture, we've got survival down, we're good. We're really good. There's so much support in the world that we live in. If you're listening to this program, you're supported plenty. It may not be obvious to you. It may not look like it. You may not be able to see it, but just start with the chair you're sitting on. That's supporting you. It's not asking you for anything. So, you know, what are you committed to? That's really, you know, purpose. A man connected to his heart knows what his, even if his commitment is to finding his purpose.
Which is always a good place to start.
If you don't know, if you don't have a sense, that's always a good place to start. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, Brian, where can people learn more about this, specifically men? Because, you know, well, I'm just going to leave it at that. Because I think they've been left behind. Too much, and I'm still remembering some article titled about are men necessary, and it's like, you know, if somebody put a title out there like, are women necessary, there would be like this hue and cry. So I'm so tired of guys being dumped on, and being thought, well, all we need is a whole bunch of sperm banks, and we don't actually need the guys. It's like, quite frankly, I don't want to live in a world without men. Where can they, where can they get more information about what you do, how you do it? Because I think it's fantastic stuff.
Thank you. Well, and I'm working more and more with men, because I agree. I it's taken me a long time to love being a man, but I do love being a man. I'm so delighted to be a man, and that really has taken me a long time to own that. So I love working with men to help men also claim their own loving of self. And you can come to my website, Brian Reeves. It's Brian with a Y, Reeves, REEVES.com. I offer coaching programs for men there. I have various programs. You know, one of the things that men need also are boundaries. We need mm-hmm. boundaries too. You know, we're not in the men's work, masculine men's work these days, there's this idea that men, we should just be able to take it all on, take everything, you know, breathe into your balls and take your woman's emotions.
Oh, my goodness, no.
And
let her, no.
No. No. No more than a woman should learn how to take a punch. No.
Please don't do that, yeah.
No more than a woman should learn how to take a punch. We shouldn't we shouldn't be being taught how to just take everything, take all the burden.
Right.
So, you know, I love working with men to help us, you know, really come from our true power, which is in our heart. It's not in our brain. It's not in our balls. There's power there, and that has its place. But mm-hmm. connect that to heart, and we are unstoppable in our lives. We are so powerful in our and attractive in the deepest mm-hmm. sense
oh,
in
yeah.
our lives. So my website, brianreeves.com.
Okay, well, Brian, thank you so much, because quite frankly, the only way any of us can have the kind of intimate, deeply connected relationships we say we want is to embody our entire selves, our masculine and our feminine, our minds and our hearts. It isn't men or women. It is both men and women. And to be successful in love and life requires embracing that. So hopefully you'll keep listening to the program to more wonderful guests like Brian Reeves. And until next week, stay loving.